Let's try it together.
Okay, so last time we were giving the, I think we gave the mashal last time that the Rambam brings. We were asking about the challenge of learning something new. We pointed out how anyone who learns anything, at the beginning there's a learning curve. You have to learn a language of Kabbalistic thought. If you don't understand the terminology, you don't understand the concepts, shalom uvracha. So it's impossible, of course, to make your way through the ocean of Kabbalistic knowledge. So he writes now in Oz Tazayin, he says, listen, I understand that much. He says, listen, I'm not challenging it on the premise that it takes time to learn a new concept. Right? That's true about everything. Anyone who learns a new system of wisdom, so there's many sveikos, bilbulim, and all sorts of confusion at the beginning of that journey. At the beginning of one's study, the mind can't grasp how it's true, and you have to learn the system. So fine. So he's basically saying, I understand. There's a learning curve. I got that. There's a learning curve. Right? It's true about anything. That much we understand. Aval klolus darche hakabala, hu shamarti shem dvarim zarim neged hasechel vasvar. But I want to talk more generally about, again, Kabbalah, and specifically the confusion that exists even after you learn the language. I mean, before you learn the language, of course you don't understand anything, right? That was the whole point that we brought last time. A person is an expert in medicine, or a person's an expert in music, but he doesn't have a mastery of astronomy or astrology. So of course, the fact that he's smart in one area, he could still be uneducated in another area. So that I understand. That much we understand, that a person has to learn the language. That much I understand. But my real question, he says, v'koldam koldavar, but really, before anything else, what I want to ask of you, ash'elcha al kama machlokas hanimtsaos mena mekubalim v'dvarim ikarim. But even after you learn the language, it still seems that there's a lot of confusion about the fundamentals of this wisdom. Meaning, how do we paskin in Kabbalah? Now, the truth is, this is not the most exciting question. I think the next question we're going to get to, Mirtz Hashem, in Os Yud Ches, is very exciting. The question of the stories of the Torah. Right? Are the stories of the Torah more than just stories? And there's some very famous and strong ideas to prove that we can't just read the Chumash at all. Even the stories of the Chumash, we can't read them as stories. It has to be so much more. Right? But right now he's asking in terms of who paskins in Kabbalah? Well, it seems like there's a lot of machlokas about the fundamentals of these principles. And this is a compelling point. If you're telling me that this is Kabbalah, which means what? That there was a Masorah, that's what we're trying to advocate this whole time, that these are ideas of our past, ish mi pi ish, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way back to Har Sinai. So if this chachma is mekubelis biyadam, if it's really a Kabbalah, if it's really been received from one generation to the next, eich nimtza machlokas b'neihem. So how is there machlokas at all? How can there be machlokas? How is there machlokas let's talk about in Nigla. How is there machlokas in Shas? Why is there machlokas?
Yerida Sederos.
What do you mean, Yerida Sederos?
That at every point where there was two schools of thought where they didn't necessarily remember exactly how the previous generation had interpreted a specific point. And so they had two options, and so they had to figure it. They, disagreed.
It's not necessarily Yerida Sederos. Yerida Sederos isn't... It's not like a spiritual Yerida Sederos, right? It's
the capability of...
It's broken telephone.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's what the Rambam says, that they weren't... Then the Rambam writes in his introduction to Torah Shu'al Peh, and he says that we weren't listening to our Rebbeim properly, and it led to Machlokas. There's confusion about what was the... In other words, there was an authentic tradition, even within, let's say, Torah Hanigla. But unfortunately, over time, so that tradition was lost. But I guess what's bothering Shaltiel in his question is that, but in Kabbalah, you're telling me it's always been this very tight-knit secret society where everything was passed ish, bp ish, from one person to the next. So how did that get lost? How did different opinions arise in Kabbalah? In other words, it should be more tightly guarded than, let's say, Nigla. Yeah. Right. So meaning that's what's not compelling about this question. I mean, he's asking like, well, how could there be machlokas? Like, I don't know, how could there be machlokas about anything? Right? How did any machlokas develop in any area of halacha? I guess he's bothered that if Kabbalah again is supposed to be such a precious, protected, you know, wisdom, right? So where did the breakdown occur? And the truth is, the answer is going to be, in a sense, that the breakdown occurred in the later generations, the same way that in Nigla it broke down in later generations. Let's see how he begins to address the answer. He says, Be'emes and Yud Zayin. So Yehoyada answers, Be'emes ki anochi lo matzasi v'lo re'isi shenechleku b'sefer Yetzira v'lo b'sefer Habahir u'perkei Hechalos u'b'sefer HaZohar. He says, if you go back to the primary texts of Kabbalah, Sefer Yetzirah, Sefer Habahir, these works written by the Tanaim, the Sefer HaZohar, he says, I don't find that in fact there is machlokas. Lo bidvar mikariyim, not with the fundamental principles, for lo b'shum davar acher, and not with anything at all. Zu las b'feirish eiz apasuk nimtza machlokas b'sefer HaZohar ben talmidei Rashbi. People don't understand what the Zohar is. You open the Zohar, you'll find out the Zohar is a parish on Chumash. In other words, sometimes a pasuk is quoted, and there's different interpretations, right? Which we could do also. We could do that also, no? We could do the same thing. We could read a pasuk, and you say like this, I say like that. That's okay. Right? But the fundamental principles, the core ideas of the Kabbalistic system, from the early sources, there's no machlokas. With regard to certain psukim in the Zohar, the Talmidei Rashbi, Zemefarish a pasuk kifi hakadama achas, v'zemefarish shal pi hakadama acheres. This one says a little bit like this. This one says a little bit like that. Right, and that's when Noam says elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, and that's fine. Ki shivim panim yesh l'Torah ve'ein mizeh hezek l'klal esachach b'klal. And the fact that you could squeeze out more than one interpretation of a pasuk, that's not damaging in any way to the fundamental truths of Torah. In other words, I don't have to decide. The same way I read a pasuk in Chumash, Rashi says like this, Ramban says like that. Okay, good. I don't have to come to a conclusion one or the other. It's not that one has to be fundamentally correct and the other one is fundamentally wrong. But he says in the next paragraph, "V'im kavanaschahi alamachlokas hanimtza b'sifrei yemekubalim ha'achronim." But if you'll tell me, but hold on, some of the latter works of Kabbalah, there is a lot of machlokas. In a davar zeh eino kedai, the shenesapik im mikubeles hizos hachokmem lav. Is that a reason to question the authenticity of the whole system? In other words, if you have a machlokas between, I don't know, the Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Shach, a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva Eger and Chassam Sofer, between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Moshe Sternbach. Right? When you have different opinions in halacha, does that mean that halacha is not authentic because there's a breakdown in the clear way to rule on a particular issue? He says, I don't understand what's bothering you. The fact that there's machlokas among the later swarm, is that enough reason to draw a doubt about the veracity of the whole system? Sharei gam b'dinei ha-talmud, rabu ha-machlokas b'in ha-chachamim. Because there's machlokas b'in shammai b'in hillel, so therefore the whole thing's not true? Or it means that there's a little bit of a breakdown in the understanding of, you know, of what's what. Right? There's a machlokas between the chachamim, bein b'talmud atzmo, bein b'sifrei ha'poskim. It's true in Gemara. It's true in Halacha. V'lo mipnei zeh nisapik ba'amitas kabbalas ha'torah shebal peh. So we're not going to question the authenticity of the entire Torah shebal peh just because we're not sure exactly how to paskin. or because there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, or Abai and Rava, that doesn't undermine the whole. Again, it means that there's a certain, right, what David called Yiridus Adoros, a certain breakdown in the transmission. Okay, so we have to try to work to get back to a clarity. But it doesn't mean the whole system is broken. It doesn't mean that the sages of the Talmud made the whole thing up. Achlok is between one tzaddik and another tzaddik. So therefore what? So they're lying? Or that means there's... No, they're not 100% sure which is the correct interpretation. And they're trying to get back to it. But they're not making things up because of that. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing. There's a fine point of contention between them. But to say that the whole system is fake because of that. Kiyomer ke nivdol mikal Yisrael, the person who says that the Gemara is all just made up opinions, right, such a person would be thrown out of normative Jewish thinking. So what happened in Kabbalah? Right? What's happening in Kabbalah? V'nei anochi agid lecha sibas hamachlokes hanimtzos bein mekubalim achronim. So let me try to explain to you, he says, what the root of this machlokas is. How did this machlokas come to be? And is this something that should bother us? Ve'eich nizbat lamachlokas acharei shezachinu al kisvei hakodesh shel Arizal. And once we have the Arizal, it sort of puts an end to the machlokas. The same way that Rabbi Yosef Cairo came along and he wrote a Shulchan Aruch. Did that really solve everything? I mean, yes and no. Right? On the one hand, we could say, well, like, what's the halacha? Look in the Shulchan Aruch. That's not so simple, because right, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, and then you read the Mishnah Berurah, and then you read the Ber Heitev, and you read the Shari Tshuva. Right? You look at the Shach, and you look at the Taz, and the Machlokas continues. But in a certain way, there was a codification of right, Rambam, Rosh, Rif. Okay, we have a Shulchan Aruch. So the same thing is true. There was sort of this open-ended Kabbalistic tradition until the Arizal sort of gave it a official form. Right? There's no more machlokas really after the Arizal. Right? The system of the Arizal became the accepted system of Kabbalistic thought. And he's going to explain what that means. Da, you should know, ki machlokas a mikubalim. Hischilu acher harambanzal. When did things start to break down? We have to try to figure out, at what point in Jewish history did different strands of Kabbalistic thought emerge? He said it really begins after the Ramban. V'hasiba haisa, and the reason for this is, lefishim mimeya go'onim ad Ramban, lo hayu kosim in yane achachma azu b'svarim, ki im roshe haprakim uveramazim. In the earlier generations, the same way again, Torah Shebaal Peh was really Baal Peh. And there was no formalized written Torah Shebaal Peh. People had notes. People jotted down their own ideas. You had your notes and I had my notes. The problem is that what? That later generations didn't know how to interpret the notes. Again, look at the words again. Lo hayu koisim in yanei achachma azo b'svarim. They didn't write these things down. Ki rashei prakim over a Muslim. There were these very loosely arranged outlines of these concepts. Shelo yuvanu rak lemisha kiva hamavteichos palpeh. If you don't have the keys to unlock the code, so you don't really know what you're looking at. Ukamoshe tira besof hakdamas haramban, as the Ramban writes at the end of his introduction to Chumash, where the Ramban says, "I'm going to write certain things," you know what the Ramban calls al derech haemes, which means al pi kabbalah. And the Ramban says, and don't try to figure them out. Don't waste your time trying to figure it out. Either you know what I'm talking about or you don't. Don't try to, don't play like, you know, don't play detective, Ramban says, with my parish on Chumash. Either you have a Masorah of how to interpret these things or not. So as Ramban writes at the end of his introduction to Chumash, he writes that, right, don't try to solve it. Don't try to figure these things out on your own, with your own intellect. V'gam v'viuro l'milas bereshis. And so too the Ramban, last couple lines are a little cut off here, so I'll just read it to you. So too the Ramban writes in his explanation of the word Bereshis, Shapirish, he explains, Shehi remez l'svira hanikres chachma. The Ramban says that Reishis, right? Reishis chachma, Yiras Hashem. Reishis is always associated with chachma. Chachma is the starting point. In the Sviros, Kesar is really beyond the starting point. It's beyond, you know, Aleph, right? The real reishis, so to speak, is what we call chachma. Reishis chachma. Reishis chachma. So the Rambam, when he explains the word bereishis, which is merambis to the sphere that we call chachma, the Ramban writes, v'siyim dvar b'zeh lashon. Again, it's cut off on the page, I apologize. He says, v'i'afshar laharich v'peirish zeh ha'inyin v'michtav. I can't go into this in writing very much. Right? V'haremez rav ha'nezek. And it's very damaging to try to say too much about it. Ki yizru bo svaros ein bam emes. Because it's going to lead people to say things that are not true. So again, the Ramban is advocating, either you know what I'm talking about or you don't know what I'm talking about. That's how Kabbalah was transmitted for a period of time. Either you had it or you didn't. So now, what happens so when you end up with the Ramban without the keys? So we start to interpret in different ways, and a lack of clarity emerges. Or, like he writes here at the top of page Lamed Ches, Vizel Lashon HaRashba. The Rashba writes in a tshuva, V'hasod Begadol Gibor V'Nora. We say, Inshmon Esrei HaKel HaGadol Gibor V'Nora. What is Gadol? What is Gibor? What is Nora? The secret of these expressions is Nora Ma'od, Miyadano. It's incredibly lofty. It's holy, very holy. Who understands it? Kol Shekein Shiyalo Soa Ish Al Lishono. Right? First, you should be so careful with what he says about it. For Kol Shekein Shiyichtol B'Sefer In Yano Ala, more so to be careful how to write down one's interpretations of it. In other words, the Rashba says there are things. There are ideas that are somewhat out there. We have to be very careful how we interpret them. So you see from this tshuva from the Rashba, there was a great fear of putting things into writing. Right? We want to make sure it's accessible to the right people in the right way. Right? The early Kabbalistic works, everything's written in code. By the way, all the Agaritas, which some of us learned last year, right? They're all codes. If you don't have a Vilna Gaon, like we learned last year, to interpret them for us, they're just crazy stories. So the same thing is true here, right? If you don't have the keys, if you don't have the code, so it could break down into all sorts of corrupted interpretations. Kim v'remez v'helim gadol. It's all written, right? It's not written with a clear biur. It's written with hints, with great secrecy. Ad ki akori b'hem e'efshar lo li'natzal midei safek. That a person who reads them says, I don't even know what's going on. I don't know how to emerge from the doubts that are found within them. Unless I have that clear Mesorah directly from one Rebbe to Talmud, again, I'm trying to solve a code. I'm kind of guessing. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. So therefore, after the Ramban, where for whatever reason people were not receiving it directly from the Rebbeim, but were sort of getting these mysterious texts and trying to make sense of them, Navochu deoseim b'havanas divrei hakadmonim. There was all sorts of confusion, right? Morin nevuchim. There's a lot of people were navoch, they were perplexed, and trying to understand what the early authorities were saying. V'chol echad kosav ha'oyle b'metzudas iyuno. And each person was interpreting in his own way. V'nimtzu deoseim bilti shavos. So there was a breakdown in what the real Mesorah of Kabbalah was. The same way there's a breakdown in the halachic tradition. V'hayno machlokas hanimsa b'ne mekubalim ha'achronim. V'zeo shekibalnu mimaran ha'arizal. And this is what, again, we have as our tradition from the Arizal, who became sort of the one to take all of these scattered thoughts and put them together, al pi the halach of Kabbalah, ki kol asvarim shel Kabbalah shel acher haRamban zal, einam v'yosher haChachma hazos. Anything after the Ramban, it's a little bit messy. There's a breakdown. V'shehem benuyim b'seichel hanoshi, and it's built on human intellect. Lo mikubalim mipi harishonim v'lo mipi halyonim. So, in answer to your question, right? In answer to your question, Shaltiel, how could it be? Right? But there's so much confusion in Kabbalah. You're right. Unfortunately, it's not a unique problem of Kabbalah. It's a problem that appears in Halacha as well. Right? There was a certain loss of clarity of the tradition. But again, none of that questions the veracity. None of that should lead us to question the veracity of the system. It just means we did a bad job as Talmidim, right? Maintaining that system in a wholesome way. And we needed the Arizal and his Rebbe, the Ramak, to sort of come along and clean things up. Along came the Ramak in the 1500s of Moshe Cordovero, lived a little bit before the Arizal. Right? This summer I went when we were in Eretz Yisrael, so we spent a Shabbos in the holy city of Tzvas. And the Erev Shabbos we were there was the Ramak's Yartzei. So I went on Erev Shabbos to the Beis HaChaim there, where so many holy people are buried. And I went with my son Yaakov. We were davening by the Ramak. So on the bus right there, I called my Rebbe, Rebbe Gerzi, Rebbe Yeshua Gerzi, Shlita. And I said, Rebbe, tell me something about the Ramak. So he said, the Ramak was a unifier. The Ramak took all the different strands of Kabbalistic thought that were floating around, exactly this problem, and he worked to show how really, even the contradictions are not really contradictions. He was able to take all the various, you know, the breakdown and kind of put the puzzle back together. That's what the Ramak was about. Right, so that's what he's saying here. The Ramak came along and he listened carefully and he investigated and he fixed up everything in order to minimize the machlokas. Gerzi said the Ramak was very Baal Shem Tovdik. He was able to put the whole system back together. And the Ramak had many, he had a big library apparently, of the early Sfarim, and he was able to somehow piece it all back together. So first he started to arrange things with various introductions to again try to be Mesader, the whole system. He started again to take the early positions and try to clarify them, right? Everything that was lost. And he began to work diligently to make sense of the later interpretations. To the point that you could say that he sifted through everything and found what was the ocha, what was the psolas, what was the true tradition, right? And what was sort of the excessive part. Va'od Chiber Sefer Or Yakar. He wrote a book called Or Yakar, which is a Perush Gadol al Zohar. On the Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar, the Raya Mehemna, the Sefer Yetzira. Then he wrote his Sefer Elema. Right? The whole Pardes Rimonim, he put together a Pardes. He put together a whole orchard of clarification of this whole system. U'mishmei da'arizal itmar alav, and in the name of the Arizal, it was said about the Ramak, Moshe Emes v'Toraso Emes, or Moshe Cordovero. About him, the Arizal said, Moshe is true and his Torah is true. Ba'olam ha'blima. And look in the words of the Ramah, Mipano and his Akdama to the Sefer Pelach HaRimon, and you'll see the praises of the Ramak. The Ramak saved the day in a certain way because he took the many Shitos that were starting to become more and more scattered and he drew them back to sort of one source. But after the Ramak comes along the Arizal and he gives Psak Halacha. And in other words, again, what he's saying here, what the Shomer Emunim is saying here, what Yehoyada is responding to Shaltiel is, there's nothing funny here. There's nothing unusual here. Again, last week you were bothering me. He says, you know, you're saying that none of the concepts even make sense. So, you know, Yehoyada responded and said, you got to learn the concepts. You got to learn what the words mean. What is Sviros? What is Partsufim? These are crazy words until you understand what they mean and what they offer us. Right? But even after you learn the language, he says, but it seems like there's still a lot of machlokas. So again, he's pushing back and he's saying, of course there's machlokas. There's machlokas in everything. That's what Jews do. We make machlokas. Right? The deeper you get into it, you understand that here's how the machlokas evolved and here's how the machlokas emerged. And eventually a posek has to give psak halacha. So the Ramak did a lot of work to start to clean up the tradition because of this breakdown post-Ramban. And then the Arizal came and he gave sort of the Psak Halacha. He became the system. Right? And that's what we learn today. When a person learns Kabbalah today, it's the system of the Arizal. That's the official system. Are there other strands of thought out there? Yes. Can they all be forced to fit into the system of the Arizal? If you're deep enough and you're a Vichamayer and you can work it out, you know, you'll put it all together. There's no real machlokas b'shorash. Right? If it's Torah, then it's a reflection of Hashem, and just like Hashem is one, the Torah is one. But there's a perception of things falling apart. So the Ramah came and he did a lot of work to put it together. Moshe Emes with Taras Emes. Bottom paragraph. Achar kach heyer bezarach hamor hagadol ma'oz umigadol hakadosh k'malachi yashares Rav Yitzchak Luria. And then the Arizal came along, the Heliga Heliga, great genius Rav Yitzchak Luria, hamachuna b'shem ha'ari, the lion of the Chabura, so to speak. Uverov chachmaso v'kedushaso zacha shayim bezgala elav Eliyahu zal b'chol es. The Arizal, in fact, was on such a pure and holy, lofty level that Eliyahu and Avi would reveal himself to him, to teach him. Kamo shahayim esgale el atanayim v'al amorayim. Eliyahu and Avi appeared to the Arizal in the 1500s, in the short 38 years of his life. The Arizal was zochet to gilui Eliyahu on a regular basis. Like we find in the Gemara, k'di'isa b'gemara b'duch de'tuva, like we find in the Gemara in many places, how Eliyahu and Avi used to appear to certain tanayim and amorayim. Vigila lo sisrei Torah v'sodas amukim, and he revealed to him the secrets of the Torah and the deep secrets, right? The concealed areas of Torah and the deep secrets. Asher lo niglu b'chol ha'aretz mizman harashbi zal adzmano, things that again had not been clarified since the period of Rishon Bar Yochai. V'hu zal bital asamaorin machlokas and mikubal machron and mikol v'kol. And when you have a Rebbe like Eliyahu Hanavi to ask your kashas to, right? I mean, think about it. Every Gemara that we get stuck on, what do we say? Teku. Teku means Tishbi, Yataritz, Kushas, Vabayas. We look forward to the day that we'll be Zocha also to sit with Eliyahu Hanavi and to clarify, right, all of our halachic doubts. So the Arizal had Kabbalistic doubts. And he sat with Eliyahu Hanavi and he worked it through and he resolved all the questions, right? Until he had it all worked out. Yeah. Pam zicha shtar lebeitrei v'hiskim shedivrei shneim amitim blei niftal v'ikesh. Right. Sometimes he would present him with conflicting opinions, and he would work through it. He would clarify him the truth of it without any, right, without any niftal, without anything being twisted, without anything being ikesh or crooked. And nothing was perverted. He was able to work through the whole system in a way that everything fell into place. Sometimes he would show how there's no machlokas at all. Sometimes he would be machriya, like one opinion as opposed to another opinion. Again, a couple lines are cut off, so just listen for a second. And from the time that we were zochet to have an Arizal, and the writings of the Arizal, the organized writings of the Arizal, till this day, Lo timsa mishi afakvek v'yachlok al dvar of klal. There's no machlokas anymore. Right? You can't challenge. You can't. On a certain level, that Arizal is the final say. In interpreting that Arizal, there still may be machlokas. Just like interpreting the Shulchan Aruch, there's still machlokas. Okay, but there's a certain, you know, ad kan. Once you get to the Arizal, there's a certain solidification of the whole system, and then everything else is just, you know, diukim. A little more like this, a little more like that. But you can't challenge the whole structure anymore. And the time of the Arizal till this day, lo timsa mishi afakvik v'yachlok al dvarav klal. Ki akol yodim, deruach Hashem diber bo, umilaso alishono. Half of page Lamites. From the time of the Arizal, we know that Arizal was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. He spoke to Eliyahu Hanavi. He clarified all the various strands of Kabbalistic thought. And he, in a certain sense, has the final say. And everyone knows the Arizal was the Arizal. Arizal was a Holy Spirit. The Arizal was a person who had access in ways that most of us don't have. There was no one from the times of Tanaim who had this clarity. There was no one who had the truthfulness of the tradition like the Arizal. Yeah. V'kisvei shevach narosa v'asher asa b'ir tzvas, and there's well documented, you know, praises of the Arizal, the wonders that he performed in the city of Tzvat in the 1500s. Kvar nidfasu b'sefer emek hamelech u'v'sefer talumos chachma Uvakdamas Perusho Shamaharam Al Shechalatoro Visvaram Acherim. And there's so many, again, tzaddikim from the times of Arizal who spoke about the greatness and the wonders of the Arizal. So bottom line is, what we learn from all of this, Ki'ata acharei shazachinu al kisvei HaKodesh al Arizal, ein makom klal yipater mililmod zos hachachma b'tayna samachlokas shenafal b'ne mekubalim ha'achronim, v'miksas drosheha, v'anachtu lo ne dehadas hanachon me'abilti nachon. We can no longer exempt ourselves from learning this wisdom by saying, I don't know, yeah, there are ideas, we don't know who says what, and it's very confusing, and right? No, we can't do that. From the time of the Arizal, there's no makom to exempt oneself from studying this wisdom by claiming that it's too convoluted, and there's too much machlokas, and we don't know who's nachon and who's lo nachon, v'shiyesh sakana gadol lahamin b'chiluf ha'emes, and there's too much fear to get involved with it, because maybe I'll come to conclusions that are not true. No. Ki be'emes agamor. Nizbat lazos ha'tayna mikol v'kol al yedei k'sivas ha'Arizal. In other words, maybe for a period of time. And it's so fascinating. Again, if you think about it historically, right, we're saying that once upon a time there was a very clear Mesorah, but it was a very small group. And then there was this whole period of time, I guess from the Ramban to the Arizal, right, where everything was getting splintered. And there was a terrible lack of clarity. And that's why for a period of time, you know, those who were learning it were learning it, but a lot of people were avoiding it because there was no clarity. Comes along the Arizal, comes along the Ramak, and then the Arizal, and they're masader it in such a way that now we have a clear system, and they start to create greater access for people to such a degree that he's advocating. He's saying that nowadays we can't exempt ourselves by saying, "Well, we don't." I'd be like saying, "I read the Gemara and it's too convoluted. So, what's the point of learning?" Right? We have Rav Yosef Karo. We have a Psak Halacha. We have a means of working through it. You have to learn the language. You have to understand in nuanced way the various shitos, but okay, we can make it work. Kizachino behemla or sisrei haTorah through the kisvei Arizal, we're now basking once again in the light of the secrets of Torah. Vadvar matikim, midvash misukim. The ideas are ancient and they're sweet as honey. Vehema ravim lishom ayam, and if your person is willing to listen, you'll find them to be delightful. Vachayin lo tzeayam, and they give life to those who find them, who seek them out. Deinu goli razia, that they revealed these secrets, the kazachu le mishmaya, writing very poetically here. But now we have access to the secrets from above. Ukamosha adrusha mochichim, koroeyem yakirum. And just like is self-evident for those who study it, we'll come to understand. Ki dvarim ke'ela i'efshar l'shum nivra l'hasigam v'shum seich l'umada l'ulei al-yidei hofas ruach ha'kodesh. When you study the system of the Rizal, you'll come to the realization that no one could have put this together if not for being a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. Again, because a rationalist might still say, what do you mean, Eliyahu and Navi came and he clarified, he spoke to him, Eliyahu, what do you say? How can you prove any of that stuff? But when you study the system, Minei Ubei, when you study from the inside, you'll see that it's impossible for a person to have come to these conclusions if not for Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, the proof of it is from the experience of it. Right? Enter into it. Don't exempt yourself by saying it's too convoluted and it's too imprecise and there's too much machlokas and therefore I can't learn any of this. No, it's not true. We have an Arizal, we have a Ramak, we have people who are Masadr Kabbalah in a very sensible way, and therefore we can no longer throw up our hands and just say, I don't know what to make of this. That's not an appropriate response to Kabbalah today. Study it, immerse yourself in it, and you'll see that a great Baal Ruach HaKodesh like the Arizal was able to bring us to a Psak Halacha in Kabbalah. Okay? All right. Now, let's just ask the next question, just for 2 more minutes. Okay? Let's ask the question so we can start thinking about it, and we'll delve into it next time in a beautiful way. Nitzachtani b'dvarecha al mash ha'isi matil doifi b'kabbalah b'avur ha'machlokes anim sabin achron. So he says, okay, so Shaltiel says, okay, you defeated me with your words, fine, I accept, good. I'm willing to accept, you've been victorious over me in terms of this question of machlokas. You pointed out that it's not any different than machlokas that we have in Nigla Satara. I accept that. Ki amasha amarta niskara daiti mod. What you've responded to me has has put my mind at ease very much so. Achein ha'emes agid lecha. But I have to tell you what's really been bothering me the most. And what bothers me, ki lo nacha daiti klal b'darchein mekubalim. There's certain things that still weigh upon me in a heavy way in the ways that mekubalim look at Torah texts. V'asajim lefanacha ulai tucha lahalit v'adam. I'm going to present them to you, and hopefully you can answer them. Rishona, first and foremost. Heim omrim, the mekubalim claim, shekol divrei ha-Torah, v'sipurei ha-maisim shenechtevu ba, every word of the Torah, and every story of the Torah, yesh bem sodos gedolos, are filled with deep secrets. V'zen niro she'eno emes. And says Shaltiel, why? Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to say it's filled with secrets? Why can't the stories of the Torah just be stories of the Torah? V'yaspik lahem shenodu l'devrayim b'masha orim sheyesh sodus tam l'mitzvos. Isn't it sufficient for us to admit that there might be secret reasons and explanations for the mitzvos? I tell you, the mitzvos are deeper than they appear to be. So you take a lulav in your hand, so it's more than a palm branch, okay? So that much I can accept. Why can't the stories just be stories? Aval b'sipurim u'maisim shabo b'torah lo nehira klal sheyeb hem sod kamus v'nistar. But why do you have to say that? Again, you're telling me a mitzvah, when a person does a particular act or behavior in fulfillment of Hashem's command, so there's more than meets the eye. You want to tell me that this black box on my arm and between my eyes and my forehead, there's something deep and mystical taking place. Fine, I can maybe accept such a concept. But why do you have to tell me that when Yaakov is in base love on these, got all sorts of different types of sheep, why do you have to tell me there's deep secrets there? Why can't it just be that Yaakov was a shepherd and the Torah is recounting his tales in base love on how he was dealing with a charlatan and was trying to rip him off and trying to trick him? Why are you telling me that the Sipurim themselves of the Torah are filled with secrets? Who's to say that there's secrets to them? Maybe it's just the stories of our tradition. Why do you have to make it into some whole mystery? So I'll just read the first two lines of the answer, and then I have to stop. I have to pause here. But look what he writes in Osiyu Tess. V'chi'ata savar shenichtavu b'torah sipurei maisim shelo letzarach. Let's ask the other direction. Do you think any bit of the stories of the Torah are written for no reason? Can you imagine such a thing? V'yunikram k'sefer zechronos divrei hayamim. Do you think it's just a history book? There's too many details that are just simply too irrelevant if you're just writing history. And that's not what the Torah is. If the Torah was a history book, you could have written a lot more. The Torah is a tiny book. It's 5,845 psukim. The names that were selected and put in, the stories that were put in, the words that were said by power that were put in, right, that Hashem made as part of his Torah, God forbid to think that there's not so much more than meets the eye that's happening there. Right, this was the mistake of the wicked Menashe, who tried to interpret things in a way that was what? That was a falsification of Torah. So let's leave this question for next time, but let's think about it. Right? Could it be that the Torah is just stories? Do I have to say? Is it compelling? Do I have to believe that everything that happened in the Torah is actually some type of secret? Or could it just be stories? Could it just be the Pshat? Right? Why did Hashem decide to put certain scenes in the Torah? Why are certain scenes left out of the Torah? Why do I need to know the details of, again, I keep using the example of the sheep of Yaakov in the home of Lavan, right? Because the Arizal system deals greatly with those sheep, deep secrets of the Torah. Right? So Shaltiel says, why do you have to say there's secrets of the Torah? Why can't it just be stories? But Yehoyada's visceral reaction to that is, well, how can you say such a thing? The Torah is so tiny. You're going to tell me it's just a history book? Chalila lahamin v'davar hazeh. God forbid to say such a thing. Okay, so we'll leave this for next time. I'll show you an incredible piece from the Divrei Yisrael of Majitz. where he responds in a very strong and clear way to this question. Okay, to be continued. We should be zeicha. Shouldn't be scared to learn these things. It's possible to understand them. Not impossible.